Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Matt, how much influence did John Middleton have in making these two decisions?
Look, anytime we make a big organizational decision, we're very collaborative about that. So John definitely was aware of this, involved in this, as he has been for a lot of decisions we've made. Andy McPhail as well, but you know, when we make big decisions, they are done with a collaborative approach and a kind of a united front. So John was involved.
There you go. And that was John Johnson. I know John Johnson that came out with the question. He was, but really, is what was the level of the involvement? Like I would have said, whose idea was it? Right. If I could have followed up with the question, was it your idea to bring him on? And he would have given you nothing. He would have said, "Well, you know, it's a collaborative effort."
Yes.
Blah, blah, blah. Here's I'll answer for him.
Scared, to be honest.
I'll answer for him, Jack. It was not his idea to bring Charlie Manuel back in, and he did it. He did a terrible job. Matt Klentak did a poor job. You know why? Because he was up there. You said he's scared. He looked scared. He looked uncomfortable. We were watching the feed from the website. It looked uncomfortable. Just talking to some people out in the hallway during the break. Everybody's face has turned. It went from being excited that Charlie was back to why do they even open their mouth? I mean, is that the reaction that everybody has out there right now? 888-729-9494. Like why even open your mouth? Like every time we hear you talk, we're excited. Like, yeah, trade deadline's coming up. Yeah. Oh well, if we do, we do.
Right,
we're not one.
Instead of prepping us a month before the trade deadline to not expect anything.
All right, let's take some phone calls. We have let's go to Joe, Jersey. Joe, how are you?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
What's up, Joe?
This is not a good Philly team. I mean, if the Phillies were in the American League, they would be 10 games out of the wild card. But they're in the National League, would a lot of teams are mediocre, so they're 2 games out. This is not a good Philly team. It's not their hitting, that's not very good. A lot of guys have underperformed on this ball club, but their pitching is even worse.
It's not their hitting that isn't any good.
Yeah, the hitting is okay. They scored 6 runs against the Giants, except they gave up 9 runs.
Okay, that's one game.
Since the All-Star break, they're bottom 5
every offensive category.
So it's been bad.
But it's not that the whole team is just not very good. It's not just the hitting. If they're open, it's not very good. If they're starting rotation, then it's not very good.
Yeah, we know that now, Joe, but see, here's the thing, and I love where everybody comes with this analysis now. You missed the opportunity to improve the team. That's the point. Yeah, we know this is what you're stuck with now. We know that now. This isn't the team it had to be a month ago had you not waved the white flag. That's where the frustration comes in at. Don't try to ask me whether or not Drew Smalley and Jason Vargas in this stinking rotation is a winning team. Yeah, you want to ask me that now because that's what the front office put on the field. By choice. By choice. So when this fan base was still in on this team, when there was an opportunity to improve this team, all we heard was, I don't want to mortgage the future for a win to win right now. Don't try to come back now and sell this team isn't good enough. Because that wasn't the selling point at the beginning of the season. That wasn't the selling point when this team was still in first place in May, in mid-June. Right? That wasn't the selling point. So I want to hear that now. We know this stinking team ain't any good now. We know that. We know that. You think they took the field in March thinking, well, you know what? We're just going to play the season. Now we're not really all that good. So there's low expectations. Give me that nonsense about this team isn't any good. Yeah, it's because it's the team they put together. They decided to throw in the towel, wave the white flag, and let the chips fall where they may. Yes, all three of those cliche. They decided to do all three of those. And tell us about it, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Warn us. Forewarn us.
And that's the message. The message is we are not going to sit on our hands.
And now it's, we're not, now the message to the team is we're not going to sit on our hands.
Jack, can you do this? Can you get the McPhail? Can you get the Klentak? And then can you get that cut right there where they're telling you one thing before they actually... McPhail said they're not one player away from the World Series. Klentak, who said if they don't, they don't? That was McPhail again.
Well, they both said it in different ways.
Right, yeah. And then Klentak more or less said the same thing, yes. But now they're not going to sit on their hands.
Right.
They sat on their hands. I mean, how ticked off do you think John Middleton is that they elected not to do anything, and then the Mets, same division, so many games back of them, actually got a starting pitcher? It ignited the team. And now the Phillies are in fourth place in the NL East.
Yeah, let me say this. John Middleton, you certainly want to give him credit as an owner that's willing to spend money. But he's willing to spend money because he believes it's going to make him money. I don't know if John Middleton really cares about anything but making money. See, the whole idea about doing stuff to put fans in the seats and doing a little shell game to try to get people all excited and with really no substance behind it, that's a money maker. That's a money move, mm-hmm. Right?
Well, I
don't know. John Middleton's not a baseball guy. I don't know if he's out there demanding that they go trade a minor league prospect to bring in someone better than a Drew Smiley.
Right. I believe John Middleton certainly wants to win, but I don't know that John Middleton is a good owner and knows how to win.
Right.
I don't know that.
Right.
I have no idea. I certainly believe he wants to win almost maybe too much. Not too much, you know what I mean. Like, he's very interested in winning, but you're right. I mean, they're also interested in selling the park out. Mm-hmm. They're also interested in all of those things that come with it.
Well, I know from his standpoint, that's certainly what he's interested in. He's a businessman.
Of course, they're not trying to lose money, but that doesn't mean he knows as an owner. I've already seen a couple instances now where the front office and the ownership group is not on the same page. Did you ever see that with David Montgomery when he was running this team?
No.
I can't remember that.
At least I can't remember.
He let his baseball people do their job. Was he involved in the decisions? Of course he was. But you know what else he did? He hired good baseball people. I don't think John Middleton hired good baseball people here, Ike. Just Google Andy McPhail and see what he's done in his career.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the question now on the table. Do we have baseball people running the organization? Mm-hmm. People that can put together a baseball team, that can scout young players.
And,
right?
And because now John Middleton is looking at this falling apart, now he has to get involved. So now he's involved in baseball decisions, like hiring Charlie Manuel.
Right. I just look at somebody. I look at the Atlanta Braves, and, I mean, they're able to bring in a different manager. They're able to bring in somebody else in the front office. They have great young talent. They can scout. They can draft. They can develop. And they figured out how to turn their organization around. And the Phillies have been doing this longer, the turnaround, longer. So the Braves have taken a shorter period of time and have come up with better talent.
You know, it's amazing.
The Braves have come up with better talent in a shorter period of time.
And it's not even close. So here's right back to the phones. Here's what's amazing. Our intern... Jerome Taylor's in there screening phone calls. Romy, right?
Romy.
You know what this board looked like at 3 o'clock or 2:30?
It was different, wasn't it?
It was a board that was excited and happy that Charlie Manuel was back. And everybody was saying, it's going to help. They're going to be great. They're going to be great. You know what it looks like now? Klentak's a fraud. Move is desperate. Get rid of front office. Charlie's being used. This is insulting to Charlie.
Yeah.
Somebody was going to rip Gabe Kapler. It went from being everybody was excited like you and I, Ike, to now everybody's pissed. Let's go to Jake in Collinswood. Jake, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, guys. I'll tell you, listening to you, what you just did wrapped up there, your analysis of this team was absolutely bullseye, spot on. This team, what I was listening to in that press conference over there, I mean, I feel sorry for Charlie. I really do. Because he's being dropped in to this dumpster fire, and it's like, what's he supposed to do? Snap his fingers in 44 games and turn this thing around when you got Gabe Kapler still talking this psycho babble the way he was doing? I mean, come on. It's ridiculous. Do you realize? I mean, first of all, the pitching coach that we had last year, I'm looking in the paper, and I'm seeing that he's now, you know, he's with the Braves now.
Mm-hmm.
The Braves have the best team ERA in the National League East overall, pitching ERA.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what does that tell you? As far as drafting,
yeah,
we drafted Mickey Moniak, and we could have drafted Fernando Tatis Jr., who is a superstar and is talked about as being a guy that could potentially be one of the great all-time
mm-hmm.
shortstops.
Mm-hmm.
And we passed on that mm-hmm. with the number one overall pick. This team is a mess. These guys in charge are idiots. Klentak is, I mean, they should can a whole lot of them. Kapler, I feel sick for Charlie Manuel. I actually feel sick.
Wow, thanks, Jake. Appreciate it. Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of
that,
this.
Jackie minor leagues.
Yeah. By the way, Fernando
Tatis.
He was an international signing, so that's not true. They could have signed him, but he wasn't in the same. He wasn't in the draft.
Right.
But to his point,
the Moniak draft was Nick Senzel, who's a center fielder for the Reds.
Right. He's the player that was talked about. Honestly, none of the other guys have really developed yet. But here's why, in part, they signed Moniak. They gave him less money because they liked this. They wanted to overpay their second-round pick because he was going to go to college, Kevin Gowdy, who has done nothing, in part because he had elbow surgery.
Ah.
Right. So they said, hey, we'll take Moniak so we can underpay him, but then we can pay overslot to this guy in the second round.
Keep him from going to college.
Right. Yet. Save some of that money so you can sign somebody else that maybe normally wouldn't come. And he would have been a first rounder if everybody believed that he wasn't going to college. Problem is, neither player has developed.
Yeah, that's the problem.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Yes.
Man, I got Ronald Acuna Jr. running around here looking like he's the next best thing in baseball.
Holy cow. honestly, forget about the North American draft or the U.S. draft. They've struck out on these international signings. How come I look all over the place? I see Latino players and Cuban
everywhere.
Players all over the place.
Yeah.
21 years old, killing it. We have, you know, we have second generation guys that are coming up. Everybody's got a second generation guy. Bo Bichette's playing up there in Toronto.
Everybody has a son.
Meanwhile,
Bo Bichette, is that Dante Bichette's son?
It is.
Holy cow!
It is, and they're all studs, right?
Yeah.
And then we got Mark Leiter Jr. That's the second generation guy the Phillies drafted.
Come on, man!
Out of the College of New Jersey,
right? We had Tony Gwynn Jr. here, too.
Yes, we did.
He was not like his pops.
He's a nice fellow, though.
Yeah,
he's
nice
a good
fella,
guy.
Yeah.
Well, the Phillies signed Miguel Tejada Jr., so maybe that'll be
our guy. They're late to the party, I guess. All right, do we want to hear from Angry Al?
Oh, yeah.
Because Angry Al already, Charlie Manuel's the manager next year. It's already, because he believes that it's already, like, Al doesn't believe that this is what's going to happen. He believes that there's already a master plan that they're bringing him in so he can replace him, which is ridiculous.
Well, convince me then, because I'm not feeling that right now.
Hey, Al. How you doing, buddy?
Johnny Marks.
Hey, buddy. Oh, listen to that
What's
smile.
Up,
oh, man.
What's up, Al?
Johnny's got it twisted, man. Gabe is gone. All right? And that's why he wouldn't answer Howard's question. And your boy was standing up there running out of breath and trembling because he knows he's right behind Gabe. And McPhail might go with him. All right, so all that, he's only going to be here for 7 weeks. It's a short-term job. He's talking about his own damn job. I'm telling you, Charlie will be the manager next year.
And you're okay with that?
I'm good with that?
Yeah. No, I'm asking you. I don't know. Yeah, I'm asking.
Almost definitely.
Oh, okay.
So how does it shake down? Like, hold on, Al. He has to earn it. Like, the team gets really good with Charlie being back here, so then they give it to him, or it's already planned that's what's going to happen?
It's already done. I'm telling you, Middleton, somebody said something to him over the weekend or whatever. He got embarrassed. Like
he watched his team play again. Yeah.
But he stepped to him, and he said, this is what it's going to be. Klintak's not going to tell you that, you know, right there that I'm getting rid of Gabe, or he would answer Howard's question.
Or Al, here's the thing. Maybe he doesn't think that Charlie Manuel is a long-term solution. Doesn't mean John Middleton doesn't have other ideas.
Well, that's my point. I don't even think he's a long-term solution. I think he's the one with the 7 weeks left.
He needs
to start looking in the mirror.
Matt Klentak.
You said Klintak is the one with seven
right.
weeks
yes.
left.
Yeah, Matt Klintak may really believe this is the rest of this year. But when he gets fired and Charlie Manuel's back as the manager, he's not going to have a choice.
Right.
Huh.
They didn't want to do this. You think they wanted to do this? There's no way.
Well, we know Klentak didn't.
No, and he was up there. He was running out of breath. He was stammering. He scared me.
Oh, you should have seen him, man. He was white as a ghost. He had bags under his eyes. He looked miserable. And meanwhile, Gabe didn't seem like he minded at all sitting up there.
No. It doesn't matter because he already knows he's gone. At least this way he gets to go out hanging out with Charles.
All right. There you go.
And he gets his salary for next year if they do fire him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. What's that, $800,000?
By the way, Al, I don't think that, I just have to look at the big picture here of the Phillies. I want the Phillies to be a World Series team. Sure, it'd be great if they made a run and they started that this year, but this team's not equipped to contend in the National League next year or the year after.
I'm not worried about this year. It's all about next year. They'll get players for Charlie. Charlie won't sit there and not say nothing.
Oh, yeah?
And
okay.
So
do you think he agreed with all the moves that were done when Ruben Amaro was making moves?
No, I don't think he agreed with all of them, but all I don't think he sat there silent. I think he said something.
I had to think about that for a second. What move wouldn't Charlie agree with that Ruben made? Ruben went and got Cliff Lee. He went and got Doc.
Well, I'm talking about later on.
Huh?
Maybe later on.
What, when everybody was injured? He went and got Hunter Pence.
Mm-hmm.
He went and got Raul Ibanez.
Yeah, I think when we're talking about 2012.
You mean after the...
When we all knew it was over.
Yeah.
When they were still trying to duct tape it. Yep.
Yeah. Well, the problem is the organization had committed to the older players and they were injured, but on those contracts, and Ruben was stuck.
They were toast. He was trying. Hey, you know what we got coming up next? First of all, we're uninterrupted for almost an hour, but we also have Bryce Harper talking about the firing of Maley. Live from the clubhouse. We have it.
Oh,
okay. All right. Bryce Harper coming up next on the firing and Charlie Manuel coming in. 888-729.
Bryce is happy.
So we started the show.
Bryce is happy.
I don't think Bryce gives a damn who the hitting coach is, to be honest.
Bryce hitting 20 home runs right now. Bryce ain't on that, man.
But Bryce goes on a run.
Yes.
After Charlie's here.
I'm predicting 15 home runs to close out the season.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Do we all agree, the three of us agree, that we started the show with people excited and happy? And we're now closing the show with people in a bad mood, a foul mood, after Klentak spoke.
And I'm sorry, because I know a lot of people take my cue, and my whole mood has changed thanks to that presser.
Yep.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Matt and Gabe.
And we'll play it again at 5:25 if you missed it.
I was excited coming into work today, thinking that Skip had a real chance of being a manager, but Angry Al might have swayed me a little bit. He says this thing is predetermined, baby.
Well, that's a bad idea.
Yeah. 888-729.
Too much of what Al says.
Yeah, no, he's...
Come on.
Yeah. Marks and Reese.
Big narrative, man. Sometimes he's right.
He's not totally stupid, just most of the time.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!